This is Get Active. I'm TJ from Elvis Duran and the Z100 Morning Show, and I hope you're feeling very relaxed right now. That's what this music will do to you. This is Joshua Lewis. Hello, Joshua.
Hello, TJ. How are you?
That's you playing the piano in the background,
That's
right?
That's me in the background.
Well, you have quite an interesting story. You are a veterinary oncologist,
yes.
Which means you deal with animal cancer. That's your specialty, right?
Correct.
And you went to school at Virginia Tech?
Correct. I did my undergraduate work there, and then I did my veterinary work there as well, too.
And then you're also a singer-songwriter.
Yes.
So you write songs, you sing them.
Correct.
You play them on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And you've combined your two passions, your career, where you're a masterful veterinarian,
mm-hmm.
and also a singer-songwriter. You put them together to start this organization called the Joshua Lewis Animal Cancer Foundation. And what you do is you sell your music, and then you donate all of the proceeds to animal cancer.
That's correct.
And it's not just animal cancer. You help the families that can't afford these animals that are going in for treatment. Because a lot of times what will happen, they will bring an animal in, they find out it has cancer, and then it costs them thousands upon thousands of dollars to help them.
That's correct.
And they just don't have the money to pay for it. And
right.
they're faced with the option of either putting the dog down or the cat down
mm-hmm.
or paying all this money that they may not have.
Right. And it's, you know, even in the best of economies, it's still going to be expensive to treat animals with cancer. And there's a lot of money that has to go into the diagnostics. Most of the diagnostic tools we utilize in veterinary medicine are the exact same as what's used in human medicine. We can get the, whatever the machines or the products or the lab work is that we need to do. But there's a cost that's associated with that. So there's a large chunk of change that's, you know, spent in diagnosing an animal with cancer. And then even in most cases, a larger chunk of change that has to go towards the treatment. Sometimes it's surgery, sometimes it's radiation, sometimes it's chemotherapy, or in some cases it's actually a combination of all three. So by the time you've piled up the work that's done with the diagnostics in addition to the treatment, it certainly can add up in terms of cost. And again, even in the best of economies, not everyone can afford that. And it seems a shame since we can do something about it. So
yeah, you've developed this great organization that is selling music. It's one mm-hmm. of your passions. It's more of a hobby for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it eventually going to be a profession?
I would hope that it could actually eventually be a profession or at least a side profession. If I could do both, I would love to do both.
Okay, so you're not making any money on this.
Correct.
Any of the mm-hmm. songs you sell, you donate all the money to right. your organization, the right. Joshua Lewis Cancer Foundation. And the first thing I think of when I see something like this, and I know this is not the case with you, you're obviously loaded because you're a vet and you're a very successful one. So you have the money already. This is not a money-making scheme.
No.
You know, even if you became famous from this music, you have the money already. You're not trying to make boatloads of cash. So it's just a nice thing that you're doing.
Right. This is to give back to the community. I love what I do as an oncologist. It's what I'm truly passionate about, and there's nothing better at the end of the day than knowing I've helped a member of someone's family. So that is a privilege for me to actually be able to do that work each and every day as a doctor. But I'm also, you know, having a musical side as well, too. I wanted my music to be more than just a song that people hear and listen to, whether it's on the radio or on a CD or on their iPod. I wanted it to be something that could give back and do more. So fortunately, I was able to do this foundation so where it can actually blend both passions together.
I love that. Because you're
Thank
not
you.
Some slimy doctor who's trying to become this famous music artist. You already have the career of your dreams.
Correct. Exactly. I
so
have the career.
It's not like you're trying to get out of that business and become a performer.
No.
It
no.
makes sense. So I love this. It's the Joshua Lewis Animal Cancer Foundation. Again, it's just, could you imagine being faced with a decision? A lot of our listeners have where you bring your animal in for treatment. And you find out, oh my God, this is going to cost $20,000 right. to save this animal's
right.
life.
And that's
not even a crazy figure to come up with.
That's not a crazy figure,
not at all,
especially in New York.
What could it cost? I mean, from the low end to the high end?
Well, I mean, the range is, you know, the range can really vary from a couple of thousand dollars all the way up to tens of thousands of dollars. So there's a really huge range depending on the type of situation, the health of the animal, and things along those lines. And for a lot of people, their animal may be their only family that they have. If you think about an older person that maybe their family is gone, their children have grown up and they've moved off and maybe they're widowed, or even you have a younger person that's just moved to Manhattan and they're out on the dating scene, but they don't have a significant other yet, and all they have is their dog or their cat. So for a lot of my clients, these families are only tied in with their companion animal, their dog or their cat, or their dogs or their cats. And so that's why it's really so important for me to be able to do something to help them, because I can do it medically, but in the cases where it's not a medical decision, it's an economical decision, I wanted to be able able to do something to overcome that as well too.
Okay, so how do people find your music for starters? Because I know you can make donations outside of the music, but if they want to find your music, what do they do? How do they search for that?
The easiest way is to go to iTunes and type in Joshua Lewis. L-O-U-I-S is how I spell my stage slash middle name. So Joshua Lewis, you can search it on iTunes. You could also go to the website, and for the foundation, the CD that we recorded for the website and the music that we have for there, joshualewis.org, has that music available. You can send us an email, you can purchase a CD, you can go to iTunes, you can download it, you can listen to clips of it on the website as well too.
And joshualewis.org also has information on the Joshua Lewis Animal Cancer Foundation, correct?
That's correct. That's the whole website for the actual foundation itself. There's Joshua Lewis .com, which is actually just centered around the music. You can get a little bit more of my backstory as well too. They're linked up, obviously. They're very similar because they're both me.
Anytime I can corner any type of doctor, whether it's a regular doctor, a dentist, or a vet, I'm just interested to hear about their job. Mm-hmm. So first of all, what made you get into being a vet? Why did you choose that as your path?
It's a great question. Yeah, growing up, every veterinarian is going to say they love animals. Of course, you have to love animals. You have to love people as much, if not more, than you love animals as well, too. So I've always been sort of a science-minded person. I've had the music has been my release from the science. But in college, it was a no-brainer. I said, let me go into biology. I'll major. I'll do some undergraduate coursework with animals. And once I was involved in the vet school, going to Virginia Tech, we had the vet school right there. So I would volunteer there on the weekends and I would take some time after classes. It was a no-brainer. I knew I loved that bond. I loved the fact that there's the science behind it from the medical aspect. There's the compassion behind it with actually dealing with dogs and cats that are furry and cute. And then there's just the whole being able to do something and find out what's wrong with an animal and do something about it to treat it, or any individual or any life for that matter. I think it's very interesting. So being a veterinarian was always in the back of my mind, and it sealed the deal once I got to see what it actually meant to be a veterinarian.
And then what took you towards the specific path of being an oncologist to work with cancer?
Well, that actually developed during my internship. So after I left Virginia Tech, I came to New York and I did an internship on Long Island, and I met the first oncologist that I had worked with, and I saw what it means to be a veterinary oncologist. I saw the animals have an improved quality of life and more time with their families, the thankfulness on behalf of the families, and really what the oncologist was doing for them. So I thought, I want to do this. I want to be able to help them. I want to do more than deal with diabetes on a daily basis. I wanted to actually have a little niche and go into that. Plus, I thought it was really interesting because it's a developing horizon. There's continual progressions that are made in that field. As science evolves, so does the medicine behind it. And veterinary oncology, I think, has come a long way in comparison to human oncology. And there's a lot of symbiosis between human and veterinary medicine. So when I got to do that, I got to see what was happening on the human front as well, too. And I just thought, that's great, because this is going to feel that is ever changing.
What's interesting to me is that I've noticed animals can develop cancer at any stage. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be an old animal. It Mm-mm. could be in a puppy. Mm-hmm. How does that work? How does certain animals develop it earlier than others? I'm not very clear on how that comes together.
Well, basically cancer is a genetic disease. So anytime you have an animal that is, or a person or a human, any type of individual, any life being, if they have their genes that are already in place, there may be a predisposition within their genetic makeup that allows them to develop cancer more easily. And it's how their genes or how their body interacts with the microenvironment or the environment around them. So in some cases, we can actually identify what causes it, what those triggers are. In many cases, we may not actually be able to identify those triggers.
What are some common triggers?
Common triggers for animals with cancer would be, one of the most common things would be cigarette smoke. So tobacco smoke, the carcinogens will sit in the fur of the cat. Cats grew more than dogs, and they actually can develop intestinal cancer.
So what you're saying is they'll lick themselves mm-hmm. and then literally take that smoke right in.
Correct.
So what does it affect in their body?
Well, it basically, one of the more common cancers we see that is spawned from cigarette smoke is intestinal lymphoma. So it's actually the lymphocytes, which is a white blood cell that's actually triggered. So maybe those genes within that lymphocyte were already somewhat, prone to this, and then that trigger factor. And there's usually multiple hits along the way. It's not just cigarette smoke. It's other things. Maybe it's and I'm not saying there's diets that are influencing, but maybe it's just the way the cat responds to the diet they're being fed or the water they're drinking, or It's you know, a combination of all these factors that are together. But you need more than one hit. It's not that you're going to go in, you're going to be in a room with cigarette smoke, and you're going to develop lung cancer if you are a human. And there are certain humans that will smoke their whole lives, and they're, you know, animals the same way. Not every animal will develop cancer, but that's a trigger factor. Certainly, it's been weakly linked to lung cancer in animals as well, too. Fortunately, we don't see that often. Bladder cancer, there's also a lot of carcinogens that as the body breaks them down, the carcinogens are sitting in the bladder. So again, tobacco smoke, certain diets, obesity, those are trigger factors for bladder cancer in both humans and dogs and cats as well too.
Are there certain things in the food that people are buying for their pets that they should look for? Are there any sort of triggers or anything in the ingredients that you know?
No, there's really not any specific products per se. It's really making sure you have a diet that is effective for an animal, that they have good, they're in good nutritional status, good body condition, and that it's well tolerated. The main factor that can influence the development of cancer, at least if it's intestinal cancer, is going to be inflammatory types of conditions. So if there's a diet that is not suited well for that particular individual patient, it's not, you know, brand A or brand B or brand C, but if it's just a particular diet that's being fed that causes more inflammatory changes, that can actually lead to a higher risk of cancer.
Is there something that pet owners can do to just keep tabs on their animal and make sure that it's healthy?
Sure.
Or do they take it in? What's the...
Yeah, I mean, routine health visits. I mean, typically the rule of thumb is a visit once a year, and there are going to be vaccinations. There may be blood work or lab work, urine analysis that's going to run at that local, at that annual visit. After the age of 7, and that's my cutoff, it's not written anywhere, but it's my cutoff, and that's when we start to see that transition from a middle-aged to an older patient. Not necessarily a geriatric, but it's going from a middle-aged to older. So that's probably someone that's going to be in roughly their, you know, 40s, that they're starting to make that transition. And I would suggest having veterinary visits with the local general practitioner on a biannual basis. So every 6 months, have the vaccines done at one visit, have lab work run at another visit. And if there are problems or things that are newer have developed that have not been there previously, regardless of whether it's that visit, whether it's annual or biannual, have those issues checked out. So if there's anything new that's unusual for your particular pet, just like you and me, if we found something was different happening with our body or we felt sick, you know, obviously we would know we feel sick. Our animals can't tell us that. But if there's something where they're behaving differently, that should be evaluated.
I'm sitting here with Dr. Joshua Lewis. If you're just tuning in, he is a professional vet, an oncologist. That's mm-hmm. his specialty. He's also a singer-songwriter. That's his music in the background. Mm-hmm. This is off of his latest album, Amazing Love. And all of the profits from all of your music goes to the Joshua Lewis Animal Cancer Foundation. And as you're hearing, obviously he knows his stuff. And he's doing this on a daily basis. You're dealing with different animals that have cancer, and you're healing a whole lot of them.
Well, we can only do our best, and certainly we try. And there are success stories across the board. In some cases, we don't always have the success or the degree of success that we want, but we certainly give them the best chance possible.
So what kind of stories come out of this? Because obviously you created this foundation because there is hope when you mm-hmm. find out your animal has cancer, even if you can't afford the surgery or whatever it takes to fix that animal. That's what you're doing. You're providing funding for those families so they don't have to just put their animal down because they can't afford the treatment.
Right.
So are there any success stories that you...
Oh, there's across the board, there's success stories. So, I mean, and it's all relative to the individual patient and what they have been diagnosed with. And that's not true just for cancer. It's true for any sort of malady that they may be, you know, dealing with. So as far as cancer goes, some cancers are cured. If it's a malignant tumor and it simply needs surgery or surgery plus radiation, you could do that. And in 80, 90, 100% of the cases, you may cure them. I never like to say 100%, but 80 to 99%, you may actually cure them. There are other cases where we may not be able to actually rid the body of cancer. For instance, one of our more common cancers that we deal with is lymphoma. Only about 5% of those cases we would ever consider quote unquote cured from their disease, but the vast majority we can get them into remission, and we can extend the survival time from an average of 1 to 2 months to 1 to 2 years. And for instance, a dog that I had adopted over 2 years ago, he had about a 50-50 chance of making it 6 months with chemo, but lo and behold, he actually went into remission and he has just passed his 2-year mark last month. So there are statistics and there are quotes and there are things along those lines, but it's always up to the individual patient. They're going to do as their body will allow them to do, and we can help them out along the way and make sure they have that best chance possible.
So you adopted one of these dogs that had cancer. Okay.
He's a little Pekingese.
And how did you get your hands on him, and how did you find him?
Well, he was given to me in a way. I went into work one day, and maybe it was fortuitous that I actually happened to be working a Saturday, and it's not my typical day that I actually work. Not that I don't work Saturdays, but I was in the office that Saturday, and then in comes this little Pekingese, and right away he stands on his back feet with his little front feet hanging in the air, and you know, he obviously had a love for humans, that no matter who they were. So I walked in the room and I thought how cute he is. And so I, you know, he was diagnosed with lymphoma. He was stage 5, which for lymphoma is our highest stage, and not based on any one particular factor, but many factors, and one including the financial aspect of the situation. Their family, or the dog, his name is Gucci, mm-hmm. Which I've changed to Gooch just because it's
rolls off the tongue a little easier.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not promoting your Gucci brand.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm more of a Prada person, I guess. So.
Yeah, so there you go.
Right. So, and with the Gucci, he came in, and anyways, he basically, his family couldn't take care of him. One of the components of why they couldn't take care of him was their financial commitment. And like we were saying before, it's very expensive to treat an animal with cancer. So they were going to put him in a shelter. Luckily, they didn't want to put him to sleep. And I said, well, they can't go into a shelter because they have to have someone that's going to care for them, because their prognosis, if they have no treatment, is 1 to 2 months. It could take longer than that to have a family that would be willing to adopt him, and they would have to be committed. So because the family was willing to give him up, I decided to adopt him. I thought, he's cute. He obviously liked me. He came in the room and he stood on his feet, although I realize he does that for everybody now. So it wasn't just a preference for me. But I decided to take him on and help him along the way. And I'm very glad that I did, because he's had 2+ years at this point, and knock on wood, he is in remission and he is doing well.
Great. So there's a chance that he could live many more years?
There's a chance. I mean, he certainly beat the odds this far. So I don't want to make any sort of broad sweeping statements. And I'm kind of superstitious too. But yes, there is the potential.
But generally, that type of cancer does not allow them to last very long.
Correct. He is in the 15 to 20% of dogs that are diagnosed with lymphoma that has a survival time beyond 2 years. And this is what I tell my clients when they come in. We have statistics, we have prognostic factors, we have a lot of things that you can read in a book or a journal or a magazine, but we're dealing with an individual patient. So just like with the Gooch, he actually has exceeded those survival times. So you always shoot for the tail end of the statistics, if you will. Maybe hope for the worst, but expect the worst, but hope for the best. And that's exactly what we did. And we would never have known unless we tried. And in his case, he was fortunate. So that's what I always tell people. You want them to be that long-term survivor. That's why you do it.
And that's the type of work that the Joshua Lewis Animal Cancer Foundation does. You've taken this dog that was supposedly going to have 1 to 2 months to live, mm-hmm. 5 to 6 months with treatment, and now it's going on 2+ years.
Right.
It's your dog. Mm-hmm. Now, the people who brought the dog in, do they ever knock on your door and try and beat it down and say, give us our dog back?
No. Well, I moved since then, so they can't find me. They can't track me
this
down. It was
good.
Because of that.
See, when you're stealing pets, these are the things you need to keep in mind.
Right.
But no, you didn't steal him.
I didn't steal him.
You saved his life.
I sort of stole him.
And even if little Gooch wants his old family back,
he doesn't want him back.
Yeah, he shouldn't think that.
Right.
Because otherwise he wouldn't be alive.
No,
see?
I always wonder what he would do if he saw his family, but I think he would run the other way and back to me.
Oh yeah, he'd be like, please, you got the juice. You're shooting me up with the stuff that's keeping me safe. He'd want to stick with you.
Exactly.
So
if he ever misbehaves, I just tell him he's not going to get his chemo.
That's right. I mean, that,
it's kind of a weird thing, but
it's all good. So, all right. Well, I'm just so interested in your whole world, and I think it's great that you're an oncologist during the day and then a singer-songwriter during the night. It's like you're a superhero of animal doctors.
I've never been called a superhero, but I like it.
Yeah, this is good. So where do you practice in town?
So I work for a company called Blue Pearl Veterinary Partners, and in the city they actually have 4 locations, and I predominantly work out of our Manhattan and our Queens location. We are on 55th and 9th in Manhattan, so I've been with them for a little over a year right now.
Excellent. So if they want to get in touch with you there, if somebody wanted to bring their pet to you, because obviously you're a specialist, you know all the latest stuff in treating animals with cancer, how would they reach you for that?
I work with a wonderful team of oncologists. There's myself and there's 2 other ones. And by the way, my professional name for the veterinary oncology, my actual last name is Lakowitz. So if you ask for Dr. Lewis, they may hang up on you because they wouldn't know who that is. They wouldn't hang up on you. But Dr. Lakowitz is actually my professional name. Lewis is my middle name. So you can go to the website. website, bluepearlvet.com. You could also give a call to the hospital as well, too. They're right on 55th and 9th.
It's bluepearlvet.com.
That's correct.
And that's where you practice out of. Are there any other stories where you say, wow, now that's a perfect example of what my organization has done? Because with the Pekingese, you took that into your own personal life, and that's not really what the organization is doing, although right. It's unbelievable. I want to know, what type of support have you given to what family, and did the dog survive, and what happened?
Well, currently we are in our fundraising stage, so okay. We're actually still building up the point where we can actually start to help our animals. So this is the point where we actually just started. We just launched this month, actually, and it's been a frantic 6 months getting everything on board and getting ready for the launch since we got our IRS 501c3 tax-exempt status back in May. So right now we are in our fundraising stage, and then ultimately we'll be able to help families. They can apply for the fund if they need some money to help with treatment. They would have to be under the care of a veterinary oncologist, not myself, but it could be myself, but it could be any veterinary oncologist. And the fund will basically provide money for families in need. They need financial assistance to help with the treatment of the cancer.
And I have a very good friend who lost a cat, and mm-hmm. She was in that situation. She was fortunate enough to be able to pay for the treatment, mm-hmm. but even after treating the animal, unfortunately, it was one of those lymphoma situations mm-hmm. that you were talking about. It's very rare that those types of situations are going to work out, mm-hmm. as you said. But there are so many different types of cancers that with the right treatment, these animals can survive.
Absolutely.
And if you can't afford it, it's just the worst feeling in the world. So right. The fact that your organization, the Joshua Lewis Animal Cancer Foundation, can help those people fund these treatments mm-hmm. is incredible.
Thank you. And it's certainly one of the situations where we want to be able to, I know what I can do as a doctor, or I know what I have the opportunity to do as a doctor. So this foundation allows any doctor to be able to then implement the treatment that may be able to help save an animal's life. You know, and even if you can't cure an animal, if you can improve their quality of life, extend the survival time, and they can have more time with their family. And again, for a lot of these families that are out there, their animal is their only family. So to be able to provide more time with their families is what I want to do.
So if you want to support the Joshua Lewis Cancer Foundation, you can start just by searching his name on iTunes, Joshua Lewis, Louis, and he's got a brand new album out called Amazing Love, and it's all of his songs. It's all instrumental, correct?
It's instrumental, so it's yeah. A piano CD. I have other songs that are out there as well, too, that are, you know, produced and have the works, but this is a piano solo CD. It's our first fundraiser project for the foundation. A lot of the songs on the CD actually, or almost all of my music is inspired by what I do as a, you know, practitioner, as a veterinary oncologist, but they're all inspired by life. And most songwriters are going to write songs that they can relate to, that are inspired by life, that other people can relate to as well, too. Not everyone can write a song like Lick Me If You Love Me. That's something that I would, you know, as an oncologist, I can get away with that kind of song, but that's a direct translation from something that happens on a daily basis.
I love Lick Me If You Love Me. That's what I meant. We just played a little piece of that.
It's a good up-tempo song.
Yeah, this is good. This is Lick Me. Yeah. And you can get away with a song title like that. It's not filthy in any way.
It's not filthy, only because
now,
I'm an oncologist or a veterinarian. So
what part do they want you to lick?
Well, the face.
The face.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And it even starts, you know, there's words to all these songs that are on the CD, but this is just the piano version. So if you want to hear the words,
yeah,
come out
here.
Yeah,
how do the words go? Here we go. Lick me if you love me.
That's not exactly
That's how it goes.
That
See,
would
I
be the new
songs.
Version of it.
You know, you should hire me to sing your songs.
We could do it. It could be the karaoke version of it.
Well, I'll sing over your songs, and then I'll sell them, and I'll donate half the money to your organization.
Hey, that
and I'll
sounds
keep
good.
The
well,
other
you
half.
Did half the work, so half the money. That's perfect.
There we go. See, I
like
care
that.
About the animals, too. I really do. And if someone's listening and they love your cause and they want to support you in an even bigger way, bigger than 99 cents a download, mm-hmm. how do they do that? Can they get in touch with you on the website?
They can go to joshualewis.org and they can make a donation right on the website. It's tax exempt, so we'll send you a receipt and you can write it off on your taxes. There's no contribution that's too small. There's no contribution that's too large. So anyone can go to the website and make a contribution in that way. And there's other ways to help as well, too. It doesn't have to just be a donation with money. You know, tell people, spread the word, you know, let them know that you heard about this great cause and it's it's a foundation that raises awareness, but it also raises the opportunity for people to have more time with their companion animals. And so just getting the word out there, we're on Facebook and we have the different social media outlets there. You know, send an email out to your friends and let them know as well too. It's very helpful. I can't do it by myself, and the small group that we have going for us right now, we're just getting the ball rolling. So we need a lot of help to gain that momentum.
So that's at joshualewis.org, LOUIS.org. Mm-hmm. And if you go to joshualewis.org, you can get the Facebook page, mm-hmm. you can get the Twitter address, and you can tweet about it, send messages out on Facebook, and just make people aware of this organization, because it really is a great cause, and it could change someone's life, a family's life, and of course, an animal's life.
Yeah. And the Facebook's actually easy, because it's facebook.com/JLACF for Joshua Lewis Animal Cancer Foundation.
Excellent.
So, and it's an easy one.
Yeah, if you can't remember that, joshualewis.org, and the link is right on there, and send it out. Let your friends know about it. This is such a great cause. Even if you don't want to download the music, maybe you hate his music. Maybe you think this piano music is terrible. I mean, I love
it. How could you hate Lick Me If You Love Me?
Yeah,
Come on.
But there may be someone who says, what is this awful music I'm hearing? I love it. I think you're great.
No one's going to say that.
You can still donate to Joshua
Lewis. It's going to help an animal. So if you don't like it, just still download it, and that way you at least help an animal
out.
That's
right. And sing over it like I do.
And then Lick Me If You Love Me.
That's right. Here we go. Lick Me If You Love Me. Good. Now you do part.
Kiss my face. Roll over and shave.
You sound good.
Your backside does a little dance around me. Lick me if you love me.
Yeah, you are a real singer.
I am. Sorry.
See,
and
you don't walk in here and you're not full of crap.
I'm not very warm, but you know, it gives you an idea.
Yeah, it's good. I love how you broke into that. See, I was singing your song and you just couldn't stand it anymore. You're like, enough of this.
Right.
Stop making fun of my music.
You at least have to know how to sing it.
No, your music sounds good. You're a great piano player. I was actually at your launch party and you sounded great.
Thank you for coming.
And I really support the organization that you have here. I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and you can really change a lot of people's lives.
Thank you.
Obviously save many animals. So it's the Joshua Lewis Animal Cancer Foundation. You can download his tracks that you were just hearing on iTunes. You can search for Joshua Lewis, or you can go to joshualewis.org, make a donation if you think this is a great cause.
Please.
I sure do, and I really respect and love what you're doing.
Well, I mean, the human-animal bond is very important, and to be able to do anything to extend that is really what this is all about. And there are other organizations that are out there, fortunately, that can help raise money for treatment. This is the only organization that actually combines a creative outlet with music into the medical aspect and being able to feed those two together.
Excellent. Well, Joshua, I admire what you're doing. I love the mission of the Joshua Lewis Animal Cancer Foundation. One more time, it's joshualewis.org.
Thank you very much, TJ, for having me.